All right, brethren, let's go to John 17. I just want to take the next verse from where we left off last time. In John 17, verse 24, our Lord Jesus prays and he says, "Father, I will," that's what I titled this, "Father, I will. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Now, there's much power in this petition. When the Lord says, "Father, I will," that's a petition that only he can make. Father, I will. This is the power of the perfect mediator that God chose and sent. The power of our Lord as the only begotten Son of the Father. God the Father said of the Lord, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." I'm well pleased. Christ has power with God as the only begotten of the Father, as the one who has pleased God well at all times, in every way, so that he's able to say, "Father, I will. Father, I will." This is the power of his covenant having been fulfilled, and him having fulfilled it. Before the world was made, when God the Father chose his Son to be the mediator, it was for the purpose of manifesting God's glory. God is spirit, and he's going to manifest his glory in the earth through a man. He's going to bring God and his people together in one, in Christ the mediator, and going to make show forth his glory in the process, his glory in saving chosen sinners. You know, whenever Moses was asked God to see his glory, and the Lord put Moses in the cleft of the rock, Christ is that rock. Christ is that rock. And the Lord said this to Moses. He said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." That's the glory we see in Christ. All the goodness of God was in Christ. He said, "I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee." That's what we see in Christ, the name of the Lord. All the names we find throughout Scripture of our Lord is all manifest in the Lord Jesus. And he said, "I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." We see that. We hear that in this high priestly prayer as our Lord Jesus prays for those the Father gave him. We'll see that again. Now here's the glory. He said in Exodus 34:6, Moses is in a cleft of that rock. You're going to see the glory in Christ the rock. God's going to have to put us in Christ the rock so we see his glory. But here it is. "The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, covenant God, merciful and gracious, withholding and giving what we do not deserve, withholding what we do deserve and giving what we don't deserve, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty.'" This is all glory of God manifest in Christ. He fulfilled every covenant promise that he promised the Father he would fulfill. And manifest in this glory. That's what he, look back at John 17 and verse 4. He begins here. This is on this footing right here is how he can say, "Father, I will." This is how he can say it on this foundation right here. He said, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." That's how he can say, "Father, I will." He's finished every covenant obligation. Now he's speaking to the Father about what he wanted in that covenant, what he wants in that covenant. He was faithful in all his house as Moses was for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. In other words, so that from then on, everybody will preach Christ. His people will preach Christ, testifying of Christ and what he did. But it says Christ was more faithful than Moses. He was faithful as a son over his own house. whose house we are. God trusted his people to Christ, and Christ is the firstborn of many brethren, among many brethren, saving us. He's got the care of the whole house. So this is why, before saying this in verse 4, before saying, I've glorified thee, I've finished the work you gave me to do, before that, you don't hear Christ praying, Father, I will. Because he took the form of a servant. He humbled himself and took the form of a servant. And he said this, he said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. But that's why he didn't say, Father, I will. Never before, but only after he's come to this place where he's finished the work. Now he's speaking of his covenant side of it and what he will, God the Father, give to him. That's why the Father receives this. Our Lord's successful. He's successful. He's praying as that faithful servant who finished the work God gave him to do. The God-man mediator who purchased his people with his own blood. He's praying as the one who fulfilled God's holy, just, and good law completely for God and for his people, and declared God just, and at the same time saved his people, put away our sin, made us righteous in him. And this is also not only the power of this finished covenant and the power of this sonship as the mediator and only begotten Son of God. It's also this. This is the Father's will. It's the power of unity with God's will. This is the Father's will. He prays in the power of one whose will is one with the Father. God's Father's will is unchanging, unchangeable. It's one with Christ's will. To gather all his elect children together in Christ and bring us all to glory. That's the Father's will. And that's what Christ's going to pray for here. It's for Christ's glory as well. Because remember, he said who he foreknew, he did predestinate to be conformed to his image, that Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren, that he might get to glory. And there's coming an end when he's going to deliver up the kingdom to God. And he's going to put down all rule and all authority and present us spotless to God. And so, if our Lord hadn't come and done this, and he hadn't prayed this for us, we wouldn't have had any hope. Because we, like sheep, have gone astray. And that's where we'd have stayed. If the bishop and shepherd of our souls hadn't come to us and called us and made us see what he did for us, that he's all our salvation, all our righteousness, we'd have never come to him, and we'd have perished. We're thankful he prayed, Father, I will. Father, I will. Let's read it again. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now let's look here. Who does he pray for? We see the power in his prayer, the finished work, how he glorified God, oneness of will with the Father. Now here's, who did he pray for? Well, he says it again. He says it again. We've seen these same words. He says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be where I am. Now look here, verse 2. He said, you've given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. Verse 6. I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they've kept thy word. Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Verse 11 and 12, he says, now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I've kept. He just keeps repeating it. Those thou gave me. Now again, here in verse 24, he's not only speaking of those he had already called at that time, he's speaking of those he would call. Remember, he said, I pray for them who shall believe on me through their word. So he's praying here for all his elect people who God the Father gave to Christ. This is what his elect are called in the scripture. They're those that God ordained to eternal life. They're those God ordained to eternal life. They're the elect. It's over and over and over we find them called the elect. They're called the beloved of God. Beloved of God. Called the Israel of God. Called the redeemed of the Lord. Those he calls and makes to be his holy nation. His royal priesthood. His chosen generation. His peculiar people. I like this. We're called a number no man can number. They're not just a few elect children. There's a bunch of them. A number no man can number. And here's the most assuring. We're called the travail of his soul. That's his people. That's his children. The travail of his soul. This is a good one. We're called his purchased possession. Bought us with his blood. We belong to him. He possesses us. We're his possession. He's going to have his possession. And we're his inheritance. We're his portion. We're the portion God the Father promised him when he finished this work. So that's it's these. It's his elect. It's you who he's called. That's the object of his prayer. You. And his elect alone. Now let's hear each part of this petition. Because each part of this petition is so important. Look here now at verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. If you were asked, somebody asked you to give them a definition of what heaven is, there it is. There's a good one right there. It's to be with Christ where Christ is. It's to be with Christ where Christ is. John, you know, he was given a vision and he saw, and it describes all those glorious things he saw in heaven, and he describes the glory of it. But there would be no glory in any of that if Christ wasn't there. That's what makes it glorious. And what he's praying here, this is what he's asking the Father, is that his people be with him where he is. Be with him where he is. He's at the right hand of God. He's praying his people be with him where he is. Why do people die? Why do our brethren die? This is why. Because Christ prayed, Father, I will that they be with me where I am. That's why. He's going to have his people. We shouldn't be sad, should we? He's going to have his people. He paid for them. He bought them. Verse 24, look at the next word. He says, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. This is that glory the Father gave to his Son. And, you know, we really don't know what this will be. We really can't speak much of this. You know, Paul said, he quoted the scripture, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Now he's shined this light in our hearts. He's made us behold his glory in the face of Christ Jesus. In this life he does that when he regenerates his people. But right now, we see his glory. We do see it. But we see it in the glass of the gospel. We're looking at it today. In the glass of this gospel. This gospel is showing us a reflection of him. And we're seeing him. But we see darkly. We see in part. We know in part. And what we do know, he gives you a glimpse and your hearts are full. And you behold his glory. And then it's interrupted. The world comes crashing in and things you have to do and the cares of this world. And it takes him turning us again and speaking into our heart and making the word effectual and making us behold his glory. But brethren, it won't be like that then. When he calls us there, it won't be like that then. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, But then shall I know even as also I am known. We don't even know ourselves like he knows us. But we're going to know him like he knows us. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to see him, not as he was when he was here. We're going to see him as he is now, glorified. The glorified God-man. Remember, he came to the apostles, he said, handle me. He still had the nail prints. He has the wound in his side and his feet. Well, he arose. Now he's glorified. And we're going to see him face to face. And we're going to know him. We're going to know him. Listen to these descriptions. Go over there. Let's look at Revelation 4. These are a few of the descriptions John gave. And this is just kind of to help us have a little bit of idea, but this, you know, we're going to have to be there to behold him. Revelation 4 and verse 2, John said, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. That's just giving us, that's beyond us, the things he just said. But it's going to be glorious. That's what he's saying. It's glorious. You know, you've seen the kings and queens in England and all the pomp and all. That won't be nothing compared to this. Compared to this. Look at Revelation 5, verse 11. And think about this glory. Everybody there is going to be singing praise and glory to him. You know, when you go to a conference and everybody's there, you hear all these people singing, how loud it is. Just now, listen to this. Revelation 5, 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I could number them, John said. Just a multitude no man can number. They were saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. You talk about something to hear. Look at Revelation 7, verse 17. This is something that's going to be glorious. The Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. All tears from their eyes. We sing a lot of times here, we'll sing more about Jesus, what I know. More about Jesus, what I know. Brethren, when he raises us and we see him and we know him, you're going to know the perfection of his love. We're going to know the perfection of his righteousness. We're going to know the perfection of his mercy and grace toward us. We know in part now. But we're going to see and know as we're known. I don't know what all that's going to include. I kind of think it's probably going to be, we're probably going to be able to see everything he was doing for us all the time in this world. Not at the cross, but also throughout our life, everything he did for us. You know, when we got stopped from doing whatever we wanted to do and we murmured and we were all disappointed about it, he'll show you, I saved you by doing that. I was saving you. everything, all the mercy and grace. We're going to know it all. And it'll be endless. It'll be endless. It won't end. It won't ever end. We'll be with Christ forever, uninterrupted. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing His praise than when we first begun. Now, if you're sitting here today and you don't believe on Christ, why not? Why not? All fullness is in Him. He is the one God has provided for the salvation of His people. And everybody that believes on Him, He saves. Call on Him while He's near. Cast all your care on Him. With all your heart, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know it's like preaching to the dry bones and saying, live. But if he sends the Spirit and He gives you life, you'll see Him and you'll believe Him. Do it. Believe Him. Believe Him. Believe Him. Now lastly, I want you to behold the certainty of this petition. We know it's certain. Christ prayed, I will. That's certain. Christ finished the work. That makes it certain. Christ's will is one with the Father. That makes it certain. There are those the Father gave to Him. That makes it certain. All this makes it certain. Christ is going to have His people. God the Father is going to have His people behold Christ's preeminence, His glory. So that makes it certain. But look at this next thing. For, because thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now I want you to connect verse 23. Look at the end of verse 23. We saw this last time. He spoke of I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know. He's talking about His people. He calls out that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And now look at again at the end of verse 24. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. That's how God the Father loved you, child of God. As He loved Christ before the foundation of the world. Never been a change. Never been a shadow of turning in His love for His people. Ever. Ever. He loves Christ because Christ laid down His life for His people. He said in John 10, verse 15, He said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And then He said in verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Before this world was made, when the Father gave Him this people, and Christ became the surety of His people, right then the Father saw His people in Christ, righteous. He saw the end from the beginning. All the blessings and all the end result of everything Christ accomplished. Justified, righteous, holy, perfect. All in Christ. Because Christ said, I'll lay down my life for the sheep. I will do that. I will do it. And He came forth and He did it. And the Father loves Him. Father loved Him from the foundation of the world. And then the Father said in Psalm 2, after He finished the work, He said, I've set my King on my holy hill of Zion. He raised Him. He set Him there at His right hand, just like the Father promised. And He said to Christ, and Christ tells us this, Christ said, I will declare the decree. That's the covenant. That's the eternal purpose of God. He said, I'll declare what God decreed. I'll tell you what He told me, Christ said. The Lord God Jehovah has said to me, Christ said, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. In other words, Christ said, the Father's going to give me all my people that I will have. Because He loves me. He's well pleased with me. When He looks at Christ, He sees propitiation. He sees atonement accomplished. He sees satisfaction in full. He sees His elect redeemed, His covenant ratified in Christ's blood. He sees His righteousness manifest in perfection. And He's pleased. He loves His Son. Which one would you, if a stranger asked something of you, you who have children, if a stranger asked something of you, and your child asks something of you, which one are you going to give it to? He's going to give it to his son. He's going to give his son everything his son desires, because the son gave him everything God will, the Father will. Now, knowing this is the will of our Lord, knowing that we have this assurance, knowing that this is our good hope that we're going to be with him one day. You remember what Peter said? Peter asked this question. He said, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for, and hastening unto the coming of the day of God? He said, because according to his promise, we're looking for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And he said, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. When you come across a scripture like this that speaks to your heart, the Lord speaking to your heart through his word, and we all have some scriptures like that that we just like to go back to and read often, because it's always a blessing to it. Find you some scripture like that. And if you read the word every day, you'll have a lot of scriptures like that. He'll give you something day by day. And whenever you're weak, whenever your unbelief is coming on, whenever your doubting is coming, whenever some murmuring is creeping up about God's providence, whenever you're tempted, go to his word and read that word that's speaking to you. And set your affection on Christ. He's the strength. Ask him to bless it. Ask him to help you. Ask him to give you strength. We can't do anything without him. Nothing without him. Nothing. He's the strength. He'll help you. And if you do fall into unbelief and doubting and sin, go to him. Don't hesitate to go to him. We're going to see a little bit about that in the second hour. Go to him. What I'm saying to you is, at all times, in all seasons, go to him. Go to him. So that we have the strength to live with this heart of godliness set on him. And focused on him from the heart. This is what he can work in us. All right. It's just a few more days. That's all, just a few more days. And this promise will be brought to pass. Just a few more days. Either he'll come back, or we're going to go to him. But it's a few more days we're going to be with him. All right, let's go to him in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you that you left nothing in the hands of your people. Thankful, Lord, that you chose us in Christ and blessed us and sent him forth, made us holy and righteous. Thankful, Lord, that you gave us an understanding to know and to believe you. Lord, help us to remember this word and constantly apply ourselves to it, diligently look into your word to see what it is we're looking for. Keep us looking. Keep us hastening to that day. Don't let the world take up our time and our attention and our focus. Keep our hearts set on you, set on Christ. Lord, we thank you that you promised you will. And we're thankful, Lord, that when we do turn away and we do fall, that you continually draw us to you in love. Make us see that we're still complete in Christ. You keep on growing us and growing us and growing us, knowing he really is everything. He's all and in all. And Lord, we ask you, hear our Redeemer, hear our Intercessor, hear our great High Priest. All these things he's prayed here, Lord, hear him at your right hand on our behalf. View him on our behalf and be merciful to us on his behalf. Thank you, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.